This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
Hello and welcome to this special podcast on PMS scheme and AIF powered by Money Control. Well, we are on the sidelines of event organized by PMS Bazaar in Mumbai. And today I have with me Amit Mantri, who is the co-founder 2.2 Capital. Well, Amit, welcome to the podcast. And first question that I want to put it across to you, how is the journey it has been for you? You know, the journey of wealth creation with PMS, as well as what the future looks like for the industry.
Hello, Kshitij. Thank you for having me on the podcast. So we started the PMS in 2016. So it's now been a little more than 3 years since 2.2 Capital started. And so far, the experience has been quite good, both in terms of performance. I think we have been able to deliver decent performance since we have started. It's still early days for us. So we will have to continue to demonstrate decent performance over the longer period of time. So that's been one thing that has been satisfactory. Even in terms of AUM growth, I think we have been fairly successful at being able to attract capital. We now have a fairly large number of investors investing with us. The good thing is most of these investors are investing for the longer term, and it's, I think, very important to ensure that something like a PMS is kind of restricted for only people who are focusing on the longer term. Ideally, you know, people who have a shorter tenure should not be investing in PMS kind of products, definitely not with someone like us. And our belief is, you know, as the industry, the equity industry keeps growing in India, PMSs and AIFs will see more accretion of capital. Mutual funds will also continue to do well, but there are now clear challenges in terms of, you know, the categorization that have happened, which reduces the flexibility of many of the mutual funds to deliver returns or alpha over the longer term. PMSs and AIF will also get regulated more and more by SEBI, but at least the flexibility allows them to deploy strategies which can probably deliver alpha over the longer term.
Great. And the other bit is that we understand that PMS is going to be the next big shift that the industry will take. What are the factors which probably could lead to that shift, and what are the strategies that you in specific are employing for wealth creation perspective?
No, so I think the reason for the shift would be one, that people realize that generating alpha in the equity markets is not that easy. So, you know, for the last 20 years, we have seen a large number of fund managers deliver alpha consistently. I think that will become more and more difficult. The markets are becoming more efficient. The benchmarks are becoming more efficient. The earlier it was, you know, fund managers were able to show alpha against the benchmark because the benchmark tended to be quite faulty. And, you know, you could be a large cap mutual fund or a large cap fund manager in while actually investing in mid caps and small caps, where you ended up generating the alpha. Now, SEBI regulations don't really allow that liberty. So as people realize that they're unable to generate alpha in some of the schemes, they will end up trying to find more avenues where they see potential for generating alpha. And that's where I think the bigger shift will happen on the PMS sides and the AIF side. Large part of that allocation will probably become towards the more small and mid-cap areas where active fund managers have bigger role than say in large cap strategies. So what we are running right now is we have only one strategy, which is the 2.2 long term value fund, and it's a multi-cap oriented approach. We are essentially investing in high quality businesses at a reasonable price and staying invested in these companies for a fairly long period of time. So it's a value investing approach. And in terms of investment philosophy, it's not really unique. There are hundreds of fund managers which do the exact same thing. It finally boils down to the process, which ends up resulting in different stock picking versus other fund managers. So we have focused a lot on, you know, corporate governance. We have focused a lot on forensic analysis to just figure out companies which are actually genuine business versus companies which are cooking the books, where the managements are not ethical. And as you've seen over the last 18 to 20 months, that differentiation is becoming even more important. The weak businesses, the shady companies which have questionable governance standards are getting killed in the market. The good quality businesses are doing reasonably well despite a tough economic environment. So that's the approach that we plan to continue doing over the longer term, and that's the strategy I hope we believe will continue to deliver good returns over the longer term.
Yes, as you rightly put, quality continues to be the king of markets in this environment. Coming to the market specifically, you know, if we look at both micro as well as macro indicators at this point in time, they're not even supportive, and in fact they're heading south, and we are faced with not just global headwinds but domestic headwinds headwinds as well. So as an investor, somebody who's listening to the podcast, what should be his investment strategy at this point in time? Let's say, if not for a year, because let's say for the next 2 or 3 years.
I think the investment strategy should not be driven a lot by the focus on the macro. And the reason for that is everyone understand what the macro situation is. All fund managers know, all investors know, everyone reads the newspaper. So if the problems are severe, in some ways it would get reflected in the stock prices. If people believe that auto is not going to do well, that gets reflected in those stock prices. People believe that pharma is having its challenges, that gets reflected in those stock prices. So just purely focusing on the macro and investing often doesn't result in good outcomes. I think the focus really should be on asset allocation, that, you know, if you are an investor who has a certain corpus of capital which needs to be invested over a long period of time, you need to really think about how much should be your equity allocation, how much should be your debt allocation, and any other asset classes. Once you're figured out what your equity allocation is, I think you should not really try and then time the market as well, because while macro might not be good as of now, the markets tend to be forward looking. So if the markets start anticipating that while the macro is not good right now, but 1 year down the line, 2 years down the line, the macro will start improving, that if, you know, the economic growth is weak right now, but few years down the line, things will start improving, stock prices can start reflecting that much ahead of the eventual turnaround in the macro. And we have seen that, you know, in the short term, stock prices have very little correlation with the macro environment. So it's not ideal to just focus on the macro environment to, you know, take decisions on whether you should be invested in the equity markets or not. You should focus more on your asset allocation. If you've already invested the ideal amount that you should be investing in equity markets, then there is no reason to deploy more capital. But if you're underinvested in the equity markets, you should be investing definitely. So that would be our advice to investors who are worried about the headlines that they're seeing in the newspapers, whether it's a good time to be or not. We will only find out it was a good time in hindsight. So 1 year, 2 years down the line, we'll figure out whether this was really a good time. We might end up coming to a conclusion that this was not really a good time, or we might come to the exact opposite conclusion that this was a no-brainer time, that all that we needed to do was be positive on India, which we believe most people are still are, despite the news that they see. That if you're positive on India, then over the longer term, things will work out kind of well.
Rightly put, Amit, we are positive on India, and I'm sure this is the right time to invest. And any dips that are happening, should be bought into if you're positive on India. That's a key takeaway. But connecting another point is, you know, government has taken a lot of decisions or a lot of initiatives, in fact, brought a lot of reforms going out of the course of action to really shore up the economy. And they've been able to do that to a certain extent in terms of convincing the market that, yes, they are proactive in their approach. Do you think they've done enough? And do you think that additional measures could have been deployed to really boost the economy at this point in time?
No, clearly, we have seen a lot of action from the government side in trying to shore up the economy over the last few months. I think, apart from just the specific actions that have been taken, and many of those are really good measures, especially the corporate tax cut that has happened is a really positive step for businesses in India. But just forgetting the specific steps, it's just the fact that there's now a clear intent to ensure that the economy does well, that to us is quite positive, which means that, this is a government which is not ignoring what's happening with the economy, which a lot of people were worried about, especially with the budget that had come out after the new government got formed, that whether the government really cares about the equity markets or the economy as such. But what we've seen over the last few months convinces us and pretty much most other people that really government is going to keep trying as hard as it can to ensure that, economic growth improves. Now, the question of whether it's enough, that's really a difficult one to answer. It will depend on really the, overall challenges that we are facing. And, when the initial corporate tax cut was announced, it was considered to be a phenomenal move. People thought that it would solve a large part of our problems, kind of. A month down the line, we are not as convinced as possible. But that's really a function of where we are in the economic growth cycle. So the government may continue announcing new measures and people might still not be convinced. But we also need to realize that, not everything is in the control of the government. They cannot just, push up a button and things become all right. A lot of the things are cyclical. They will get corrected over a period of time. So we'll have to just be patient to see how these measures that the government is taking end up impacting the economy over the longer period. in the short term, it might not be enough, but I think we should just continue to focus on the longer term, and many of these measures are positive from a longer term view of the market.
Well, thank you, Amit, for taking time for us.
And now a word on a subscription product. Money Control Pro offers curated market data, independent equity analysis, exclusive trading recommendations, and actionable investment ideas to subscribers. In the Great Diwali discount offer, you can get access to Money Control Pro for as little as Rs. 289 for a year. Use code Diwali. The offer is valid on the web and Android devices. For more information, check out the Money Control website or mobile app.
Thank you, listeners, for tuning into this podcast, but stay tuned to moneycontrol.com for more on news, views, and analysis.